Hello and welcome to Small Business Big Impact. I'm your host, Cheyenne Guilfoy, the CEO of Meridian Credit Union. This week, we're diving into one of the toughest challenges in business, scaling and distributing your product. Starting small can be a rewarding journey, but growing and expanding in a competitive market, that's where the real work begins. How do you build on your success while navigating unexpected obstacles and the growing pains that come with getting your product on the shelves of major change? While I don't have any product experience, I once took on a role to bring a bank out of British Columbia and to Ontario. I had to figure out how to get the necessary support to scale it. It took months of connecting with people and asking for network decision makers, influencers, opportunities. I had to build a brand, a team, do business development, get noticed, and figure out how to get the team up to speed. Mentors, confidence, advisors are all important when you're testing and learning how to get your business on the ground. And you have to just go for it. Today, we're talking to Venice George, the founder of Yachty, a product that started in her kitchen and now shows up in major grocery stores. She's going to take us through her journey of scaling the business, what it's like to make that leap from small to big, and how you can set yourself up for success even when it feels like everything's against you. Today, we're joined by an inspiring entrepreneur with a truly flavorful brand. Venice George is the founder of Yachty, a company that began with a single marinade and has grown into a collection of versatile, all-natural, premium condiments inspired by international flavors. Yachty products can be found on the shelves of major grocery chains like Sobeys and Loblaws. And Venice, thank you for joining us today.
No problem.
So I am so curious about your story. So before you transitioned to your business, I understand that you worked in social services.
Yes.
Specifically in youth services. Can you walk me through what inspired this transition and why did you decide to make the change?
For my journey in youth services, I was exposed to a lot of, I would say, maybe discrimination with Black and brown kids. At that time when I was in youth services, I'm a young mom. And considering, you know, my options, because I have a son, and considering the community that we live in, my husband and I made the choice that I would leave my work and help my son, you know, kind of navigate the environment that we are literally living in, so to speak. I had to do a lot of advocacy work for Black and brown youth. I had to do a lot of mentoring, being an extra parent in some aspects. And I just wanted the chance to, you know, to transition that to my own life, be more supportive to our children. And, you know, it was a decision that wasn't taken lightly. You know, to go from two income to one income is not one thing that you want to do, especially when you have young children. But we felt like it was a necessary thing for us to do for the sake of our kids. Being exposed to that environment in social services and seeing how the youth were treated, I just wanted to make sure that, you know, I gave my kids the utmost help and, you know, to help them navigate the area that we're not only living in, but also to be able to be successful as Black and brown kids.
That's great. And then how did you come up with this business? How did you decide this is what you're going to do?
As a Jamaican, we love to cook. I started out making the jerk marinade at home. So it transitioned to not only feeding your family the product that you're created in the kitchen, but, you know, feeding your family's friends, like my parents' friends. My parents, you know, entertain quite a lot. And then, you know, when they like it, then you know that, oh, you might have something. Because Jamaican people, we're very particular about our food. And then, you know, taking it to work, and then they liked it too. And it got to the point where, you know, I had to be taking it in like small little jars, you know, and giving it to other people.
So it started organically.
Yeah. So that most entrepreneurs, everything starts organically, right?
So how did you decide to kind of scale it? So you started cooking and you're putting it in jars and
Yeah. Actually, I had no plans of scaling it.
Okay. I love it.
I had no plans of scaling it because, you know, coming from social services, you know, and then transitioning to entrepreneurship was just not what I had in mind. So I really had no plan to scale it until my staff said, oh, why don't you try? And then I had to learn all the aspects of doing a business. And so scaling your product. So nutritional facts table, how do you scale a recipe? You know, how do you bring your product to market, so to speak? And I was doing all this while I was still had a full time. Once you do it at home, it's just so much easier because that's your passion, right? It comes out so organically and naturally that way, right? So, yeah. So until my staff said to me, why don't you try? And then that's when I'm like, okay, let me try.
So what was the next step from your kitchen? Where did you go from there?
So the next step from that, as I said, was, you know, taking the workshops and to see what I needed to bring it to market. And then you have to, you know, try to, if you're going to scale your recipe out of your kitchen, then you need to, you know, find a manufacturer that's going to do it for you, you know. And at the time when I started, you know, commercial kitchens weren't readily available. And then, you know, so to find a manufacturer too was also problematic because, you know, their minimum quantities was not ideal for me as a person just starting. So, but we were blessed to find one that was willing to work with us and help us grow when we first started. So that was a blessing for us to be able to
do that.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
So how, I watched Dragon's Den and I watch, you know, Shark Tank and you hear about entrepreneurs and you hear things like the food industry in particular is very hard to crack into. So can you walk us through the process of getting your products into Sobeys and my notes say becoming the first Black Caribbean person to be in a local Sobeys program?
I started doing farmers markets and doing, you know, I did a show, Grocery Innovations, and yeah, and that's where we met our distributor who was just starting out. So literally, it's like two small businesses starting at the same time. And then, you know, we aligned with each other and then we started from there. So to get into Sobeys, I got into Sobeys through their local program. You know, Sherry Evans was like, she's an amazing contact person and she's just been so helpful to small businesses, nice. You know, so she was able to walk me through the process of, you know, of getting into the program and, you know, and going through all the paperwork with me and doing all that. So yeah, so we were able to do that. And then through my distributor as well, I got into the local program through Loblaws. They were just starting that program up and running. So, you know, I was blessed to be a part of the first cohort of that program as well. So yeah, so it, I know it sounds easier than it is, but, you know, when you align yourself with good people that are supportive, you know, it sometimes it takes the heavy work out of it and it becomes a little easier. So yeah, so with the help of my distributor, I was able to get into Sobeys and into Loblaws. And then I just recently got into Metro as well. To be able to accomplish that, it has been wonderful.
Yeah. So how did you find, like, what you make it all sound like, yeah, I got a good distributor and they were just starting and
yeah,
and just clicked. And so did you, like, how did you, what was the process you went through to kind of figure out what you needed to make this happen?
Well, our distributor was actually looking for someone who had a red pepper jelly. And I just so happened to have a red pepper jelly. So that's why I said, like, we aligned so well. And then they tasted it and they really liked it. And then that's literally how our partnership started. So they were looking for a certain product and I just happened to have the product that they were looking for. And yeah, and so that's how we aligned.
So I've talked to a few other small business owners in this series, but also people I know. And so I know that starting a business can be pretty financially daunting. How did you fund the business in the beginning? And what were some of the key investments that you had to make early on?
I haven't taken out any loans for the business. It's all just been personal through myself, my family, you know, my husband. So we've just literally bootstrapped it. And so far, that's what we were doing. But, you know, as you look to grow and to expand and to scale, you know, obviously, so scaling, you know, and introducing new products takes a back burner, because obviously you have to make sure that you're financially able to do so, especially if you don't want to take out any loans and if you're doing it yourself. Yeah, because when I first started, you know, that's one of the things that was not nice to small business. Well, me, for example, you know, you don't have any banks that want to take that risk with you because you're just starting out and you don't have any collateral, you don't have any assets, you know, so it's one of those things where you realize very early that you have to, if this is your dream and if this is your passion, you have to do it yourself.
You do have a goal, like you do have a vision, and what, and so what do you want to do? How big do you want to be? What does expansion look like for you?
I think most businesses, most small businesses, especially, you know, we want to be able to, you know, to be, you know, Canada wide, right?
Yeah. Like,
that's always the end goal, is to be able to, you know, make sure that the love that you have for your product is available to everyone, you know, across the country. So ultimately, yes, that is my goal. And also, you know, not only keeping my eyes in Canada, but also to expand it internationally as well. I'm, you know, Jamaican, so I'd love to have it like in the hotels in Jamaica, you know, to do it in the state. I have a lot of family in the States, so they're always ordering and I have to ship it there. And they're like, oh my God, it would just be so much more convenient if it was available here. So, you know, so just to be able to do that, I have family in England as well, and, you know, Australia as well. So, you know, and the Netherlands and Japan. So I have family all over. So it's always crazy when they're like, oh, when is it going to be available here? When is it going to be? I'm like, you know, everything takes time.
That's right. And does Sobeys and Loblaws and Metro, those ones that are, you know, more national in nature, is there a process that you have to go through to kind of get into the different stores?
Yes, there is a process that you have to navigate. So, well, hopefully that's the next step with my distributors, to be able to see if I'm able to do that. Right now, the red pepper jelly and the mango is planogrammed in Loblaws. So that's always a good step. So, you know, so to be able to have that piece, and then hopefully, you know, working together, and then we can see how we can get it into more provinces. So that would be a wonderful goal for me.
So you started with your kids and said, you know, you wanted to be there for your kids and you wanted to demonstrate, you know, a different future. So now that you're doing this, what's, you know, what have you seen changed in with your children? Or what do you think, wow, if I hadn't have done this, maybe things wouldn't be like this?
So to be quite honest, like, I was truly blessed to be able to have that opportunity, because I did not miss any of their milestones. And, you know, to be able to say that you were there for them with every milestone, especially, you know, when they're in elementary school and, you know, it's the little things that count for them, right? So to be able to be at their game or even at their extracurriculars, it's been quite a blessing to be able to say that this business has allowed me to see my children grow. And I started out with that in mind, to be able to spend more time with my family and to watch my kids grow and to be there for them and to help them. And not only to be able to see my children grow, but to be a part of their life and their friends' life, and to be like a mentor for their friends, and to be a second mom to their friends. And, you know, so you actually get an opportunity to expose them to business, like to entrepreneurship, right? And, you know, the wonderful thing about my kids and their friends is that they've been on the journey with me. When my kids were younger, they used to come to the shows with me and do that. And they didn't like the rejection part. So, you know, people would say, no, I'm not interested. And they didn't really like it. They're like, well, my mom made it. And, you know, so they used to say that all the time. So, yeah, so to be able to have them to be a part of that was an accomplishment for my husband and I. Because, you know, because that's something that we want to share with them, is, you know, entrepreneurship is not well pushed in school.
And yeah, so it's not. Yep.
For them to be able to see that their mom has ventured into that, You know, mm-hmm. I wanted them to have another avenue, not just like a 9-to-5, you know, think about also getting into entrepreneurship as well, you know. And that's one thing that I'm so grateful for through this business is that it's opened not only their eyes, but their friends' eyes.
If you put your mind to it, you can go and do it. So your product is obviously something that requires quite a bit of customer feedback. So how do you go about getting that sort of feedback from customers and know where you're going to take it or tweak it or leave it or whatever you need to do to the product?
Well, the good thing is I do farmers markets, and those are like instant feedback. I do my own deliveries in the GTA, and then that way I see who my clients are, and you know, and then they tell me how they hear about my product, how you know, or what they're doing with the products, and you know, through Instagram as well, I get a lot of recipe ideas from Instagram as well. You know, a lot of people message me and tell me what they've tried it with. In-store demos I do as well, so that way people can try it and let me know what they think of it. You know, so I believe in standing by my products. So I do my own deliveries when possible. I do, you know, shows when possible to be able to connect with the customers, because I'm a customer of my own product myself, and I don't put anything out that I don't like. And the good thing is, like, my kids have two different palettes, right? So one like spicy, the other one like sweet. So I'm always like experimenting with them. And then, you know, sometimes they're like, Mom, not everything needs to be a pepper jelly. So, you know, so it's always good for that. You know, I have my family, my entire family, my best friend, everybody is, you know, are guinea pigs for me. So, you know, so I always like to test the field, and I test it with them first before I introduce it at a farmer's market, and just to make sure, because everybody has different tastes, right? So, yeah, so it's always good that way.
So if you could go back in time and know what, and knowing what you know today, what would your advice be to somebody else who was following your path?
Oh, wow. I would say stick to your passion, because not everyone will see your vision for you. Not everyone will be a supporter of you. But if you know who you are and what your vision is, and you know, and you have a passion for your product, because nobody can sell your product but you. And you know, and to be able to stick to that and believe in yourself and believe in your product, I think that, you know, you will be successful. I've said it so many times, you know, everybody is your friend until they have to pay for your product.
Interesting. That's interesting. Right.
Yeah. And then it's like always like, oh no, well, can I, you know, then they start to barter with you, and like, no, don't. Like, you know, you have to, you know, you support me, and that means you have to support, like, wholeheartedly, you're supporting me, right? So yeah, like, just to be able to have that passion about you and that drive, and perseverance is the key. Like, there are times where you just want to give up. But if you know within yourself that this is what you want to do, then you have to persevere, because rejection is a thing that you just have to be able to walk away from, and, you know, put your head up and have a smile on your face and just carry on, because no one is going to, you know, no one's going to support you the way that you can support yourself.
Yeah.
And you have to talk yourself off of a lot of ledges, believe me. So yeah, and you need to have a good support system.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. And so you've got your families around you, and yeah, sounds like you have a very big network, which is great.
You have to. When I first started, I didn't have any mentor. I didn't have any, as I said, financial help and all that. So I heavily relied on my family. You know, my friends, my best friend, my husband, even my children. Never mind my extended family, but those were my main support system to be able to do this and to continue in this space. So yeah, so if you don't have a good support system, and if you don't have perseverance, and if you're not passionate, believe me, entrepreneurship, you'd be like, what am I doing? Let me not do it. If you believe in yourself and believe in your product, then, you know, everything else is just an obstacle that you have to overcome, just like life, just like in life, right?
You mentioned the importance of being a woman of color, and your leadership, and you're the first in Sobeys. So women in leadership, What are some of those barriers do you think women face that can stop them from doing what you're doing?
I'm going to speak on based on my experience. So some of the barriers that I face, obviously, one being financial. Financial have a lot to do with it, because then you're kind of cubbyholed and you're constrained just to certain things. But also to be able to find a network, to be able to tell your story and tell your dreams, right? As I said before, not everyone is going to understand where you're coming from. Not everyone is going to understand, because, you know, like if you want to do a hot sauce, they're like, oh, there's so many hot sauce out there. What's going to make yours, you know, you're different? But you yourself see your dream and you yourself know that you have a good product. So the barriers are not only, you know, getting into retail or, you know, having a seat at the table, you know, those are things that already exist. But the barriers can also be like your family, right? The negativity that you get from that space, right? That's why I said you have to have a passion about what it is that you're doing. You have to have the strength within yourself, find that strength within yourself to say, you know, this is what I want to do. And, you know, I'm going to do it with or without your help, with or without your support. And it's hard. That's why, you know, entrepreneurship is not for everyone. The difference from when I started to now is that there are more help for, especially for female entrepreneurs, than there was when I first started. I'm the BIPOC ambassador for Canadian Women in Food. And, you know, and we provide Monday morning meetup so that you can come and you can talk about your challenges and how can we help you? How can we support you? You know, we provide like resources and, you know, opportunities for you to showcase your products and those things. So those things are quite important as a female. James Brown says that this is a man's world, but it's not nothing without a woman in it, right?
I'm curious, how long did it take you to get your pitch down? You talked about, you know, being able to tell your story.
Well, yeah. Can I tell you, I don't really have a pitch.
Okay.
Because I always, you know, I always speak from my heart. Mm. I always tell people how it is. I don't like to sugarcoat things.
Yeah.
If you ask me for my opinion, I'm going to give it to you because I feel like that is going to help you. You know, those are things that as business owners, like sometimes we need to hear that because it's going to help us, right? It's going to help us grow. It's going to help us change. You know, it's going to help us to better be involved in our business. So my pitch per se is always like, I'm a mom and, you know, I started this business because, you know, because I want to spend time with my kids. And who has time to spend in, you know, who wants to spend unnecessary time in the kitchen, right? So that's why you create products that will help you relieve that stress in the kitchen, you know, whatever. You have time to do other things like homework, bath time, extracurriculars. By the time you come home, you're like exhausted. So, you know, cooking should be like, okay, I have one product. I can use this on anything and I don't have to worry about it. So, yeah.
So I'm going to have, well, next time I'm in Ontario, I'm going to go looking for your pepper jelly. I notice on your, that you're very proud of it being made in Canada. And obviously with all the stuff going on out there around us right now, why are you so proud of it being made in Canada? And, you know, what are you hoping will be better now that we're faced with this tariff situation and this wonderful new Buy Canada thing that's popping up all over the place?
I think it's the same thing that happened in COVID, where everyone was trying to support Ontario made, Canada made, especially during COVID. I think the importance is always to be able to support young businesses and businesses, Canadian businesses. There's a lot of us that are trying to get a footprint into the market, you know, buying Canadian, buying, you know, made in Ontario, whatever it may be, helps a family. Like literally you're helping a family, right? The importance of having the products made in Canada is to showcase and to highlight, you know, these are the different products that Canadians are passionate about and Canadians want to have other Canadians try, right? Whether it is that we're taking recipes that we have from our home country and, you know, and opening up to, into the Canadian market, you know, like we're a multicultural society for a reason. And so we want to be able to expose everyone to what it is that we have to offer, whether it be Jamaican, American, whether it be, you know, Indian, whether, you know, South Asian, whether it be, you know, Asian, it doesn't really matter, right? Like, and one thing that I have to say is, like, you know, we are so diverse in our food that, you know, that when you buy Canadian, like, you're buying a diverse amount of products, right? So to be able to say buy Canadian, it should always be top of mind. It should always be the first thing that you think of. You know, I want to support a Canadian brand, right? So when you go into the supermarket, or, you know, not only supermarkets, okay, like, you know, buy Canadian, go to, you know, you can go to farmers markets as well. You know, you can go into the supermarkets and you know, and I think supermarkets should really have a Canadian aisle.
You do, or like half the store, or three quarters of the store, right?
And yeah. So that way it's just so much easier for shoppers to say, okay, you know, let's explore this aisle, you know, and to see what offerings are there, you know, in the store.
So as we wrap up, what's your long, like, what does it look like when you're wildly successful at this?
Oh, what does it look like when I'm wildly successful at this? You know, I do a lot of mentoring, especially with girls. I coach and I do mentoring. So for me, success is to be able to give back to the community. You know, I am out of Scarborough. I'm in Malvern. I am proud of the fact that I am a business that's based out of Scarborough and that's based out of Malvern. So for me to be able to give back to my community, I always say I like to give back to not only my community in Canada, but also to my community in Jamaica, because it helps me and it helps my children, you know, to be able to see and to be able to appreciate all that, you know, Canada and Jamaica has done for me. So to be wildly successful would be for me to be able to give back to my community and to help other businesses, to be a mentor to other businesses. I do mentor some right now, but that would be success, to share your quote unquote secret sauce. And, you know, and I think that's wildly important, is to be able to help those that are up and coming or that are in the business right now. Because you can only be successful if other people are successful around you. That's just my opinion.
I totally agree with you. I've always been a person who believes that when you give something, something else comes back, and it might not be exactly what you thought, but it's going to be better. Delightful to talk to, and you're very humble, which I appreciate. But thank you for sharing your story.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for having me.
Venice's journey is proof that when you truly believe in your product and invest in it, the right opportunities will come along to help you take off. From bootstrapping her way to landing in major retailers, she's showing us that with the right product and mindset, anything is possible. For any aspiring entrepreneurs out there, take note. Success isn't instant, but it's absolutely within your reach if you're ready to put in the work. Thanks for listening. And if you enjoyed the podcast, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen.